I just think about where we've been the last few weeks or several weeks on fear and worry and grumbling last week. And we're moving into Thanksgiving season and the holiday season. And I'm always reminded that, I just reminded about 10 years ago, maybe 9, maybe 8, not sure, that I decided very, very distinctly in a very commitment that no matter what I would face, whether it was good, bad, ugly, hard, that even in the midst of temptation to fear and to worry and to walk in anxiety, that I made a conscious decision that I would thank God for everything. Good, bad, hard, difficult. And it transformed my life. You know, I think just being here today, worship, and bringing to the table today, bringing to this place today the things that you're struggling with, the things that you're fearful of, the things that you're worrying of. And there's nothing better than the remedy of worshiping and praising and thanking our God. We see this through Scripture. I think just when you think about all the messages we've been doing on worry and fear, the question is, what do you think it means to put your eyes on Jesus? What do you think it means to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? What do you think it means to get my eyes and my heart off these situations that are just continually to bombard me and get them off and put them on the eternal God? What does that mean? It means that I am facing Him and not the problem. While he faces the problem. And there's nothing, I've found nothing that brings me peace when I will just say, thank you, Lord. And you don't have to like it, but to thank him. We find this passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Paul is coming to the end of this letter to the Thessalonians. And by the way, when Craig says Thrace, Greece, where we're headed, Thessalonica is right there. Philippi is right there. Very first places where the gospel comes to Europe. So when you hear Thrace, that's where that is. And this church is in Thrace. And they're under persecution, and there's hardship, and there's things going on. And then notice what he says in verse 16. Rejoice always. We saw that last week when we looked at Philippians. In everything, we rejoice. We rejoice always. Keep on rejoicing. Why? Why? How can you do that? How can you say that? Well, listen, no one knows how or why unless they know the Lord Jesus Christ and Jesus is living in them. No one else can respond that way. No one else can rejoice always. And I think it's really important because the operative word here is always, and I don't know about you, but always in the Greek means always. And I want to ask you, church, are you rejoicing always? Do you have such a great concept of the kingdom of God and what God promises us at the end of our life and then on the way to the end of our lives right now, right here? Do we have enough grasp to know that this great God is always giving in the midst of stuff that's going on that's hard and difficult? But like Lance challenged us today, God wants to visit you. But will you let the fear, worry, anxiety, grumbling, critical spirit rob you from a visitation from God? Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Without ceasing means never ceasing, never stopping. In other words, there's this ongoing relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ by which we are communing with him, communicating with him. Him talking to us, speaking to us, and then us speaking back. That's what prayer is. So you're struggling today? Pray about it. How come that seems to be the last thing we do? To go to the Lord in prayer. But try to fix it, work it out, try to figure it out. When he says, pray without ceasing. And then here it is. In everything, give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. When I began this journey, 9 years ago, I made this commitment to give him thanks in and for everything. Even when it didn't make sense. Even when I would say, are you telling me that I'm to thank you for this? What dad thanks you for this in their children's lives? What husband thanks you for this that's going on? What wife asks you or says thank you for what's going on right now, right here, that is so hard and that is so difficult? But I began. And it took a while. It took a few weeks to be able to say, okay, my default button, I'm going to thank you. I'm going to praise you. And I'm going to give you glory, and I'm going to give you honor, and I'm going to give you thanksgiving right now, right here, whenever right now, right here is, and whatever news, whatever's coming my way. And I began to see something. I began to see a pattern. Began to see the fruit of thankfulness. And the best way I could say it back then was, supernatural things happen when you thank God for everything. That's just the best way that I could see it. I mean, and it doesn't mean that everything changed on the dime. This is not some kind of claim it and get it, blab it and grab it. It's not that at all. It's just the confession of thanksgiving to my great God that positions us to say, I'm a worshiper of God, not my circumstances. I worship him, not culture. I worship him, no matter what the political wind is. I worship him. I don't worship my flesh. I don't worship my wife. I don't worship my marriage. I don't worship my church, my kids. I worship him. Amen. And worship comes out in praise. And it doesn't mean that we don't struggle. It doesn't mean that in the midst of mourning or loss or all those things that I'm just kind of happy-go-lucky. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a deep joy in the Lord that even comes in the suffering. Have you experienced it? Jesus did. For the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the Father. There's just something about God doing a miraculous work in your life when you can find a certain kind of joy, even in the suffering. To share in his suffering is to share in his joy. And this is the promise of Scripture. And I'm just going to tell you, when I say supernatural things happen, when you thank God for everything, or if that's something that I've noticed, again, I'm not talking about my circumstances changed. What changed was me. Which was transformed with something happening in my life. And oh yeah, there were things that did change. There were things that I never ever thought that would ever, ever come to fruit, came to fruit. I do want to walk in a balance in that. But in everything, give thanks. Why? Because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, you might look at that passage and I've had people say, well, that just means that it's his will to give thanks for everything. And, okay, so I'm going to, in everything, give thanks. I'm just not going to thank God for everything. Think about this passage of Scripture, Ephesians 5:20, always giving thanks, watch, for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. In everything give thanks, be grateful. The word is in the Greek, I'll just say it because it's really interesting. It's Eucharisteo. It has an element of Lord's Supper, the Thanksgiving meal, which we'll celebrate together in a couple of weeks, where something that comes out of my mouth to thank God in the midst of the circumstances, to thank Him that He's sovereign, that He is Lord, and that I can trust Him. And that's what this is all about. In everything, this word "in" means pointing to time, to place, to state. Everything is all things, whatever is happening, always, in every place, every time, no matter what. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You know, it's interesting to me because when you look at all the places, especially in the Gospels, where the word thanksgiving is made, given, that something supernatural happens. Every time. I mean, you think about the lepers, 10 lepers in Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. They come to Jesus, all 10 of them, and they ask to be healed. And do you know what He tells them to do? Go see the priest. And so on the way they go to see the priest, they get healed of their leprosy. Now this thing called leprosy is awful. What happens is that this disease that comes upon you, you lose feelings in your fingertips, in everything in your skin. So it may be your nose, it may be your chin, it may be your forehead. You lose feeling in your fingers and in your toes. And so you might be hitting something or you might be being burned with something and you don't know it. And it disfigures you. Contagious. And these guys have been walking in this for however long, outcasts, because you go to the leper camp. And here they go to the priest, and the Bible says that on the way to the priest, they get healed. God heals them. And there's such great joy, but the Bible says that there was just one man, and he was a Samaritan at that, goes back to thank this God. And Jesus is impressed with it, and Jesus says, were there not 10? Where are the other 9? Did only this Samaritan come and give me thanks? And you know what He tells him? He says, go your way, your faith has saved you. Not healed you. Saved you. The word is sozo. We get our word deliverer, savior from it. Saving you from what? Your sin. That's the miracle. Getting saved is greater than being healed of a disease. Amen? Because you can get healed from a disease and go straight to hell. Something temporary got relief, but not eternally. No, the miracle is in the salvation. The miracle is in the life change. Oh, I praise God that I got healed from this stuff, this things. I praise God. But oh God, thank you for saving me eternally. And it's so interesting to me because 10 experienced a miracle, and only one from his thanksgiving experienced the miracle. Experiencing the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. Dying, being buried with him, and raised up to walk in a newness of life with him. All because of thanksgiving. All because of this worship. All because of this setting my eyes on him and to say thank you. Who does that? We do that. And if we don't, we need to start. Because there are wonderful things that come out of worship, wonderful things that come out of thanksgiving. John chapter 6, Jesus gives thanks for 5 loaves and 2 fish, feeds 5,000 men and their families with 12 baskets left over. Jonah 2:9, after 3 days in the belly of the fish. I don't know how you can be satisfied in the belly of a fish. But this guy did not want to go to Nineveh. And he finds himself alive in the belly of a fish. And then at some point, after 3 days, he thanks God. He worships his great God. And God spits him up, or the fish spits him up on the shore, and he runs to Nineveh. Supernatural things, miracles follow thanksgiving. They do, folks. It's just a part of the principles and the laws of God. I'm just saying miracles follow grateful hearts. John 11, at the tomb of Lazarus, who's been dead for 4 days, Jesus gives thanks and Lazarus comes forth. I've seen this in my life. I've seen this in Scripture. We see it all over. When men and women begin to worship, miracles happen. One of my favorite stories of the Old Testament is 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I want you to turn there, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. If you're one of the 40 or 50, 60 people who come on Wednesday night, who are able to come on Wednesday night, we've been in a series on the prayers of the Old Testament or the prayers of the Bible, and we looked at this a couple weeks ago. But since there were only four of you here, I'd like to teach you a little bit more about it today. Okay. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, a powerful passage of Scripture. I just want you to do this with me, please. You know, I know some of you have really spoke to me this week about the message last week on grumbling and complaining. And some of you have been talking to me about this fear and this worry. And I'm telling you this, thanking God for whatever right now will bring such a great appreciation for what you do have. For what you do have. And when I look at this passage of Scripture, I see worship defeating the enemy. I mean, notice what happens. Verse 1, it came about after this that the sons of Moab and the sons of Ammon, together with the Meunites, came to make war against Jehoshaphat. And they came and reported to Jehoshaphat, a great multitude, a great horde is coming against you from beyond the sea, out of Aram. And behold, they're in En-Gedi right now. And Jehoshaphat was what? He was afraid. He was walking in fear, worry, anxiety. And what he does is, what we've been talking about is he turns his attention to seek the Lord. And he proclaims a fast throughout Judah. So they gathered together to seek help from the Lord. And even came from all the cities of Judah to seek the Lord. Right. You know, I look at this prayer next. And I want to just read it to you quickly. If you want to look at more of an extensive, get online on the app and go look a few weeks back on Wednesday nights. So Jehoshaphat, he stands in the assembly of Judah in Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And he said, "O God, O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in the heavens? And are you not ruler over the kingdoms and the nations? Power and might are in your hands so that no one can stand against you. Did you not, O our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it to the seed of Abraham, your friend, forever? And they've lived in it and built you a sanctuary there for your name. And should evil come upon us, the sword, the judgment, pestilence, famine, we will stand before this house and before you, because your name is in this house, and cry to you in our distress, and you will hear and deliver us." Now look, God, listen, God, the sons of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, whom you didn't let Israel invade when they came out of Egypt, they're rewarding us by coming to drive us out from your possession, which you've given us as an inheritance. Oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Now watch this. And Judah was standing before the Lord with all their infants, their wives, and their children. Let's say this. When you don't know what to do, you know what to do. When you don't know what to do, if you're in Jesus, you know what to do. You turn your eyes on Him and you wait on Him. You don't try to fix it. You don't try to do it yourself. You don't try to do it in your giftedness, because so many of these things, you can't do that. It's out of your control. And so when you don't know what to do, you know what to do. We turn our eyes to Him and we worship Him and we praise Him and we bless Him and we wait for a word. Amen. And they get a word. They get a word from a prophet. They get a word from Jehaziel. And Jehaziel stands up and says, this is what he says, and it's so powerful to me. I think it's verse 14, is that what it is? I want to really kind of push through this. In the midst of the assembly, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Matna, the Levite. And he said, listen, all Judah, thus says the Lord, do not fear or be dismayed of this great multitude. Stop fearing. Stop worrying about this thing that's coming your way. Watch, because the battle's not yours. It's God's battle. It's not your fight. It's God's fight. Your heavenly Father, your Abba Father, it's His fight. Verse 16, tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they're going to come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you'll find them at the end of the valley in front of the wilderness of Jeruel. And you need not fight in this battle. Station yourselves, stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. And for O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out and face them, for the Lord is with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head. The king bows his head, his face to the ground, and they all fall down before the Lord. And what do? They start worshiping the Lord. Start worshiping the Lord. But that is so against our old nature. The Bible calls it the old man in us, the old woman in us. That is just so against us. You mean to tell me we're not going to take we don't need our swords and our spears and our bows and arrows and our shields and our catapults and all these things that we're going to, we don't need the chariots, we don't need the horses. No, you just go. You face them. I am with you. I'm with you. They're praising God. They're blessing the Lord. Folks, when I get to this place of thanksgiving, when I'm seeking Him, I'm turning my eyes to Him, I'm waiting for a word, I'm crying out for deliverance, I'm confessing, I'm just going to worship, and I'm going to hear what He has to say to me, and I'm going to trust, and I'm going to obey Him, that the battle belongs to the Lord. Have you ever heard, don't just stand there, do something? Well, here is, don't do something, just stand there. Watch me work. Watch me work. One of the wonderful things that happens is in verse 20, they rose early in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, O Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, put your trust in the Lord your God and you will be established. Put your trust in His prophets and succeed. And when he consulted with the people, he appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised Him in holy attire. And they went out before the army and said, give thanks to the Lord, for His loving kindness is everlasting. We thank Him. We thank Him. Notice what it says in 22, when they began singing and praising, something supernatural happened. A miracle followed the praise. And notice what he says. He says, The Lord set ambushes against the enemy. The sons of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so they were routed. For the sons of Ammon and Moab rose up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir and destroyed them completely. And when they finished with the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So that when Judah came to the lookout of the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and behold, there were corpses lying on the ground, and no one had escaped. And when they came to take their spoil, they found so much among them, including goods and garments and valuable things, which they took for themselves, more than they could carry. And they were 3 days taking the spoil because there was so much. And on the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Baraka, for they blessed the Lord there. Therefore, that they have named that place the Valley of Blessing until today. Well, you don't know what to do. You know what to do. Because if you decide you don't know what to do in a godly way, you're going to do something in the fleshly way. And you will follow a path that does not bring victory, that does not bring peace, it does not bring life. So we seek Him, we hear Him, and we thank Him. We give thanks. And we watch God work. You know, as I think about this journey that I've been on, I just think this, the power of thank you. A few years ago, after I started, I just started numbering them. I started with number one, I thank you for this. And this week I'm on 6,300, something like that. Now, I got to tell you this, sometimes that can become rote. And I just open it up, and I got to get three things Thanksgiving. And so in those days, I close it back up, and I don't want to do it rotely. So I pick it back up a couple of days later, celebrate what happened yesterday. Thank God for what's going to happen today, whether it's good, bad, hard. And I've got some hard things that I thank God for. But you know, there's such a promise of God doing a work when we thank Him. Thanking God for everything has nurtured me to the fullness of life. It's nurtured me. It turns what we have into enough and even more. It turns denial into acceptance, chaos to order, confusion to clarity. It'll turn a meal into a feast, a house into a home, a stranger enemy into a friend. It makes sense of our past because it brings peace for today. You have a greater grasp of what God's will is for you in your life. And you hear me say it a lot. And you'll always hear me say it a lot. But we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. You have a growing faith in the providence of God. And you're even willing to look foolish. Because sometimes it just, from the flesh, looks foolish to thank God for something like that. It means that you're willing to place every circumstance in the hands of God, which in reality they already are. It means you see and confess Jesus as Lord. You choose to see the good that God is accomplishing. When you thank God for everything, you choose to be happy. You just do, and you find, you least find contentment. And when you give thanks for everything you do, you put off grumbling and complaint and discontentment, thanking God for all that He has given and all that He's doing. You believe that your circumstances furthers the will of God and the expansion of the gospel. When you thank God for everything, you choose to be led by the Spirit according to His word, and you're willing to be a greater vessel for His glory. You find out that the great and lasting joy comes not because of good circumstances, but they just come from the presence and the hand of God. You'll suffer in a manner worthy of the Lord. And when you give Him thanks for everything, your ache seems to be relieved, as you know that for this believer, weeping may last through the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. Bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? There are so many places in Scripture that sees miracle following thanksgiving. And just over the next couple of weeks, as we continue to look at this, I'm asking you to be a people of thanksgiving. Not of fear, not of worry, not of grumbling, complaint, critical spirit, but a people who truly thank God. And so the question would be today, as you leave here today, I challenged you last week for your spouse to record all the times you grumbled and all the times you praised him. Could you not just get a scratch piece of paper? Could you not just right here in the margin of your Bible in 1 Thessalonians put number one, I thank you for this. Some of us grew up in church and we loved the old hymn, count your many blessings, name them one by one, count your many blessings, see what God has done. That's all I'm talking about. Counting. Praising, blessing. Now, I'm going to do something here. Some of you are really struggling with some things. Would you, by an act of faith, look at that situation and thank him right now for it? Even if it's not making sense. Lord, I thank you for this. It's hard, it's difficult, but I know that your purpose are going to be fulfilled in our lives in the midst of this trial. Lord, I thank you for it. I praise you today. I give you glory. I give you honor for your promises of which you said you would do with difficulty. Lord, would you birth within me a faith to believe these promises and the courage just to say thank you for this. Now I want you to switch lanes a little bit. What's something that's happened to you that is so wonderful, so great that God's doing? It may just be a word. It may be a word of freedom. Maybe God spoke to you. Maybe whatever that was. Maybe you had something happen in your life. Would you just right now thank him for that? Well, Mike, I already have. Well, I'm just going to ask you to thank him again with a grateful heart for what he gives. Father, I pray that as we move through this season of Thanksgiving, that I don't think it's any coincidence that four weeks later we celebrate the miracle of Christmas, the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ into the world. And then not far after that, I know we don't celebrate it, but some folks do, we celebrate Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came after the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus. God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing. May we be a grateful, grateful people. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.